21 minutes past 1 o'clock, and as we do every Wednesday, it's time for Counterclockwise. I'm joined now by Scoop's resident satirist, Lyndon Hood. G'day, Lyndon.
Hello, Paul.
How are you?
Not too bad.
It's nice to finally have you on the Wednesday Wire.
Nice to be here.
Now, you talked to me this morning about the perfect storm of internet slash copyright slash free speech kind of stuff this morning. What's going on?
There's an awful lot going on.
There really is, isn't there?
Quite apart from the Section 92A thing, which Scoop's quietly, I think, well, cautiously chuffed about, shall we say.
Why are you guys chuffed?
Well, we were busily involved in the blackout protest against the original version. So it's nice to see that there's some kind of proper process that's gone into the thing.
I just spoke with Keith Davidson from Internet in New Zealand about that. I wonder, do you think there'll be more protests this time around based on what you've seen so far in this discussion document?
It's possible. I'm not as terrified, but the threat of disconnection and the is still strange to people involved in the internet. It is like cutting off your phone and your mail.
Yeah, but they're not. I mean, they're going to at least there's a few steps before they get there.
Presumably in the one would hope that in the odder cases where you're going to be cutting off an entire business or a library because of what someone's been doing, then that won't happen because it's going through a sensible group of people.
Sure. Okay, but other than Section 92A, what's been happening in this perfect storm?
Well, there's another section in the air at the moment, which is Section 59 of the Crimes Act. And in the midst of all the complaints about the quality of the referendum question, somebody set up a website at shoulda.com, I'll recommend it, so shoulda.com, where you can write your own question into a screen capture the ad.
I saw a Facebook group doing that. I wonder if that was an offshoot from
that. I think they were. It started shortly after the Facebook group did, and people were using pictures from that and posting it on the group.
Okay.
And apparently, this is all sort of second-hand reporting, but they got a complaint, a takedown notice from the Electoral Enrollment Centre about the use of this picture.
The little orange man who we see on
the
ads.
The little orange man from their ad. Apparently, apparently what one discovers and the results of this, that they might think of him as the orange elector.
Copyright.
Yeah. So now, as presumably by way of agreement, every picture that this site produces has a little copyright credit on it, on the bottom for the Electoral Enrollment Centre, for the use of the orange elector, which is actually all that was in the terms of use for their material on their own website anyway.
Oh, okay. How interesting is this?
It's a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, for me personally, it's quite alarming that the Electoral Commission would take offense at someone using the orange man, because I have made copious use of the orange man
on Scoop. You really have? Yeah. And you've never had any problems?
No. I've always sort of tried to not make him out to be anything he isn't. Not to try and make him a partisan orange man or anything.
but you've definitely had him in some compromising positions.
Yeah. I'm sure that if they'd been inclined to, they could have viewed it as diminishing their brand. And he is a very important orange man for them, I'm quite sure. If they had tried to carry on. Firstly, there's a question of exactly what Crown copyright means, which is what they'd be working under, which is all a bit confusing, and I don't understand it. But
Does the Queen own that?
Well, the government owns that.
Okay.
That's what things that the government produces. In the US, most of the stuff produced by federal agencies is basically public domain. But that's not quite the same here. And while there might be a bit more freedom of use, the Crown copyright, I think, lasts for longer than an ordinary person's copyright.
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, there is the Bill of Rights Act, which means that if public agencies, if need to respect things like freedom of speech when they're making their decisions, including decisions to enforce their copyright.
Ah.
So it's
it's a little bit
complicated, and I mean, personally, I don't. You know, issuing a takedown notice is a bit impolite, as the way I personally feel about these things, and you know, it wasn't really necessary, and may have got them more negative publicity.
It certainly is right now.
Yeah, right this very second.
Well, moving on, Lyndon, yeah. There's a bit of secrecy surrounding some other internet schemes, filtering scheme to save us from internet nasties.
This is strange and interesting. Emma Hart on Public Address linked to the work this guy, Thomas Beagle, has been doing, busily sending Official Information Act requests to the Department of Internal Affairs about this policy for voluntary web filtering that that they seem to have been working on.
What does that mean?
That means, well, it's censoring the internet, really, with particular regard for sort of the kiddie porn kind of thing, stopping people coming and looking at it. And if your ISP were running it, you would see a little thing saying, no, you can't see that site, I'm afraid.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's mostly well, there's a couple of things. Firstly, just the technicalities of running it begins to qualify as something people like to call breaking the internet, where in this case, you would probably have to send every time you request any file, just you'd have to check that it wasn't coming from one of those sites, which slows things down.
Right.
And then there's the more general problem, and one isn't reassured by the secret, or at least very, very low-key nature of this.
Didn't tell anyone about it.
Yeah, and you know, it's just that alone as a principle. It would be nice. They did do a trial, apparently, I think it was with Telstra Clear, and apparently there was some kind of letter that went out that didn't receive much notice about that. But the other thing is, of course, the lists are always secret because you're not going to tell everybody where they should go and look for the stuff that you don't want them to look at.
That's true. Yeah.
But unfortunately, well, firstly, they do leak. There's been several that have appeared on this website, WikiLeaks, which is where people send their leaks to these days.
Yeah.
And the Australian one, for example, contained a lot of stuff that wasn't censorable. They had, or have, or are proposing a rather worse system than the one we're looking at. We're apparently looking at censoring individual pages, web pages. Australia was more going for whole domains, I think, actually. So everything after, like, .com. And this tended to include servers that had other people doing stuff. I think that was the story behind there was someone who was just a hairdresser or a butcher or something, and his website got censored by the Australian government.
So where could people find out more about what's happening in New Zealand on this, if they're not talking about it particularly hard?
Well, the minister won't be much.
No.
Well, Emma Hart, as I say, on Public Address, has written about it, and she's got links to this guy who's got a big website full of information.
Cool.
One of the things Emma Hart managed to track down shortly after her post, it's in the discussion thread on it, was Stephen Joyce talking about filtering to the NBR, saying that they had no plans to introduce this because it slowed things down and it's really fairly easy to get around if you're determined.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, we're nearly out of time, actually, Lyndon. So just quickly, this anti-counterfeiting trade agreement. What's going on here?
Well, this is a great big strange secret club where a bunch of developed countries mostly are meeting together in Morocco apparently over the next couple of days to keep hashing out an international agreement on dealing with counterfeiting and intellectual property issues like copyright and patents and trademarks, and what you do with people who are being naughty with regard to that across state borders.
That's a pretty massive issue right there.
Yeah. It's, you know, induces a certain amount of terror in people on the internet, because that leads to visions of the most extreme American-style copyright law being applied to the entire world. And nobody knows, well, nobody officially knows what's actually in the draft.
New Zealand's there, presumably?
Yeah, New Zealand is there, and Australia and the US. And, yeah, again, on WikiLeaks, there have been a few documents about these ACTA negotiations released, but, yeah, officially, it's not public. I was reminded of this because Oxfam actually sent a press release out worrying that with regard to things like patents and trademarks, it will be harder to get generic medicine. And all the poor people will just have to suffer.
Or die.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And, you know, one would love to think that there was public feedback on whatever the proposals were that were being proposed, but, yeah.
Don't be silly, though, Lyndon.
They're probably heavily copyrighted.
Oh, that's fascinating. I hadn't heard anything about that. I'm going to get off air after the show and delve into that one.
There was one punchline, actually, when I was looking at the web filtering thing. They're protesting the widespread bringing of this in Australia at the moment. And there's a rather funny little ad doing the rounds with Sensordyne, which will scrub your internet clean, which is apparently, or one gathers, a takeoff of a Sensordyne ad.
Yeah.
And apparently GlaxoSmithKline, who own the Sensordyne brand, are talking to their lawyers.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Well done. Hey, thanks, Lyndon. It's a pleasure talking to you today. We've got to go, though. Time is of the essence.
Mm.
Thanks very much, Lyndon.
Cheers.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.